720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. And on the line with us now, excited, really excited to have acclaimed chef, restaurateur, TV personality, James Beard Award winner, and now Chicago resident, Chef Jonathan Sawyer, on the line with us. Welcome to WGN.
Absolute pleasure to speak with you, Dane. Thank you for the kind words.
It's great to speak with you, too. I feel kind of like one of our sports teams just made, like, one of those blockbuster trades, and we just acquired, like, a super high-level free agent from somebody else, from some other team. I feel that's exactly how I feel for Chicago's culinary scene.
Well, that's quite the compliment, and I'm, you know, really glad to be here. I don't know if you know, but I was actually born in McHenry County, so I grew up, speaking of sports, a very conflicted student of both Cleveland and Chicago sports fan teams. So I actually have banners in my office right now posted behind me of Cavs, Bulls, and the Dream Team, Bears, Browns, Indians, Cubs, never the White Sox, all due respect, and Hawks, all hanging up behind me from my childhood growing up here, and my brothers and my father.
So much pain and so much therapy, right? Even whether it's, you know, the Cubs, of course, 108 years, and of course they had to exercise those demons, you know, on the Indians, who deserved all of that. But of course, you know, you guys had an NBA championship that hopefully kind of erased all of that pain from those Michael Jordan dominated but awesome Cavalier teams that were there through
quite history. Awesome. Oh, and that Michael Jordan series that just came out really documented all of those fantastic, heartbreaking moments, all the better for me to remember.
All the pain. Great to have you. You know, of course, Chicagoland area, WGN, we reach 38 states and Canada at night, the greater Midwest at all times, McHenry at all times. A little bit on the history side. I know I shared, kind of reminded back in some emails, is that I was the first one, when it comes to Jonathan Sawyer, I was the first one to interview you after you got Best New Chefs for Food and Wine and out in Aspen. You had Best Dish. I got a chance to interview you there, and then when you won your James Beard Award back in 2015 right here in Chicago, I was there to talk to you then. So obviously super familiar with what you've been doing in Cleveland and all that success. Excited to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about it. In Cleveland, doing your own thing, restaurateur, kind of like the commander of your own ship and doing so many great things there. But of course, you know, the entire restaurant world has been absolutely devastated. So many challenges here in Chicago, no different than that. When you finally decided to go and become that free agent, were you surprised just how much kind of value you had on the market, how much excitement there would be to have you come to their restaurant, their town?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think for us it was a decision long coming down the pipes. As much as I love owning and operating restaurants, I didn't drop out of engineering school, which is what my former career was, and my family as well, to be in the office 7 days a week. And the bigger our company got, and the more quote-unquote successful or busy each of our restaurants prospectively got, the less I found myself sort of on the piano, on the line, with the staff, with the farmers, with the butchers, and really doing what I do best, which I think is sort of, you know, forecasting where food is going, understanding what my customers and my city and my dining room really wants from my cooks and our stove, and sort of inspiring everybody through long-winded storytelling, anthropology, entomology, the beginnings of a dish, I think is another skill set that I had. So as I started to really think about what the future was going to be for me career-wise, we also started thinking about where the career and future was going to be for me. And that decision was really grounded in what of these cities can both give me the opportunity that I'm looking for in the next step of my life and career, what can help advance my wife's career as well, and what can be a value add to my two children, one in high school and one in middle school, as they begin, you know, as they begin to really figure out what their careers are going to be, whether it be sport or theater or comedy or whatever that is. And Chicago was naturally at the top of the list for us, and we knew from living elsewhere in the country that we didn't really want to do New York again, or we really didn't want to do Miami again, or a couple other cities sort of we knocked off the list. And, you know, here we are now in July, looking at a September-ish, we'll put ish as in extreme quotation marks,
the old world
opening
ish
for us. for a new restaurant here in the Four Seasons, three quarters of the way through a $50 million renovation of the entire property itself, the biggest one it's had in its 30-year history.
Wow, and it's an iconic location, and it's a great place to be for you, I think, on the creativity side, certainly as far as the community being able to embrace it. You know, Chicago's a great place, and the listeners, of course, will echo that, and you know this from Cleveland. We don't have the best weather, but neither did you over there, but it's got every bit of all of those things, whether it's the culture, the sports, or the kids, or the education, all that stuff. Chicago is there, and a big enough culinary scene to be able to welcome you in and celebrate you in a bunch of ways that I know, especially as we get to a point where we can fully experience and enjoy things, you know, after the pandemic, that you're going to be well received. And so it's going to be some exciting stuff. And I'm trying to think too, because, you know, there's been so many challenges on the restaurant side. I mean, so many challenges out there. But when it comes to, let's say, you know, greenhouse and some of the things that you were doing, it wasn't broke. It's just part of the whole thing. Are you going to just look to recreate some of the stuff that you were great at and people loved? Or are you kind of saying, hey, this is a fresh start, a blank canvas here in Chicago?
Great question. I mean, I think you're right. There is, you know, when we get to look back in retrospect at the restaurants we've lost over the past year, 2 years, even 3 years, because pre-COVID, there was restaurants, especially same unit restaurants, had seen stagnation, if not decline, overall, that's independent and independent and chain netted together. Same store locations overall had lost check average and lost overall revenue. So there was chinks in the armor prior to the pandemic and the, you know, catastrophe that has followed since then. So I think, you know, in the coming years, looking back and seeing all those places we missed and how we missed them will be very interesting to look at. But for us, you know, the new beginning and the new restaurant, I think means a little bit of both of what you're saying. You know, there's a reason why gnocchi's been made for 400 years, and there's a reason why risotto has been made a similar way for 700 years, because it's great the way it is. And then there's a reason why, you know, modernist cooking techniques for steak or for salmon have come along. There's improvements that can always be made. And I think that's, you know, comes back to one of our mantras here in the kitchen, which is, you know, always happy, never satisfied. So we will see some of our classic, you know, tavern dishes or Chef Sawyer dishes, from dry-aged steak tartare to crispy confit of chicken to Tabasco fried half chicken. And there will be some new stuff inspired by either events or travels that I've had over my culinary lifetime.
Yeah, Chicago is a culinary destination. Four Seasons is there. Have there been? Of course, there's a lot of things to happen. And you're in the middle of, we talked a little bit off the air beforehand about some of the construction that's going on, part of that $50 million renovation. Have they given you sort of like, you know more about what you do than we know about what we would want you to do? Have you been given sort of carte blanche to kind of just do whatever you think is best?
I mean, yes and no. I think carte blanche is a very, you know, exciting and not appropriate term for what we're doing, but I think my expertise in the owner-operator world really comes in handy in a time like this, where we're going through a major renovation, and normally there would be a huge amount of money available in CapEx or renovation funds, but because of COVID and doing the right thing with our employees and our team in terms of carrying all furloughed employees' insurance, and, you know, there's not a lot of money. So you look back at the owner-operator and like, how did you do this when you had no money? And I'm like, well, we could value engineer this and we could do that, you know. So there's a little bit of back and forth on us sort of all realizing the same goal, which is, you know, we're this far down the line, we're ready to open, we're not going to compromise any of the brand or the image or the experience. So how do we get to this end goal, given the current complexities that we find? In terms of food, yeah, I mean, there is sort of a carte blanche, you know, understanding, but that comes with them knowing me for the GM, Stephen Watch, and I've known each other for almost a decade now, and because of his leadership and because of knowing him is really one of the main reasons I came here. And he knows that when he says carte blanche to someone like me, it doesn't mean my way or the highway. It means adapting and understanding what our Gold Coast and beyond customers want, expect, and will be interested by, that I can serve them from our piano and with our cooks. So it's a little bit of both.
It's great for you to be fluent in both sides of those. When I asked about carte blanche, I was really thinking only of the food. And then you went on for, you know, a couple minutes on all the things that are related to the construction and the running and, you know, and all those moving parts and logistics that have to do with running a business. Do you feel that your experience in that, whether it's to understand and appreciate the sensibilities that are at play or just in general, right? Just to understand what's going on around you, even if it's not something you're intimately involved with, is that having that skill set, and those are two distinct skill sets, and oftentimes they are conflicting, you know, whether it's the artist and the chef side and then the business and all that other side, is that gives you a leg up, even if you're just able to understand what's going on and even kind of support that end of it.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I mean, I think that there's the more involved I get with each department, the more they realize they don't have the typical hotel chef on their hands, you know, quote unquote. Not that there's anything wrong with typical or atypical hotel chefs, but, you know, because I wore all these hats previously in my life, I have a very understood and grounded opinion on all of the departments from, you know, service to people and culture or to maintenance, you know, like having that decade plus of ownership and really making it happen, quote unquote, finding results is very different than just identifying a problem and then passing it off to the next department to take care of.
I think even on the marketing and outreach side, you understand that role as that sort of face of what is the food side of the Four Seasons. And I think it's something that you're comfortable with. I think that you'll be great at. People that see you, that have known and enjoyed your food, and of course seen you on some of the television stuff, the fine dining stuff, you've got that down, you know, Iron Chefs and all of that. And of course, James Beard Award winners is, but it doesn't define you. I read somewhere in one of the publications that you're looking at a potential like burger concept, right, as an additional thing maybe in Ukrainian Village. So are we going to see like multiple kind of incarnations of Jonathan Sawyer?
I mean, I think everything pre-COVID is sort of tabled for now, but you know, we're not going to slow down just because we changed cities and we changed, you know, companies. You know, there's a lot of opportunity underneath this umbrella for us to do more than just run a restaurant that I almost just said out loud. Oh, man, I would have been in trouble for that. We do have the name official. We just haven't secured all the social handles, so we're about a week to 3 weeks away from announcing the name, which is
nice.
Super exciting and fantastic, but I totally almost let it slip.
Would have been breaking news.
But anyhow, yeah, I think that there's a lot on the near horizon. But on the burger front, you know, for us, there's a proprietary piece of steel that we use on our burgers here at the new restaurant that I used at two of my units previously in Ohio, and it's based on an Argentinian chapa. And the idea is we put wood fire underneath a 3/4-inch solid piece of steel that is sloped but not beveled at the edges, 2 degrees. So you still get the flavor of the flame and the wood fire, but you get that precise sear of a flat piece of steel. It's super unique, and you really only do see it in Argentina and a little bit in Abruzzo. But that's something that makes us super excited about burgers, beyond the equation of, you know, meat to dry-aged fat to regular fat to cut to burger bun size, ounces. You know, there's a lot more mathematics involved in burgers than I think everybody has ever really thought about. You know, this being my 18th restaurant opening in my lifetime, I've done quite a few of them, and it's always fascinating me when you come back to the golden ratio of burger, you know, condiment to fat to flesh to cheese to bun.
It's so crazy. There's so many listeners right now standing next to their Weber in the backyard saying, wait a minute, what was the angle? What was the percentage of whatever? They're trying to take notes. Figure out the magic spatula. So before we let you go, we want to talk about this outside of all the business culinary side, all of the stuff that happens, and maybe flashing forward to a time when Chicago is Chicago again. What are some of the things that you know, the wife, the kids, the family, what are some of the things you're excited to kind of be a part of here in Chicago outside of the work end of it?
Well, I mean, A, I'm already enjoying commuting like I haven't enjoyed in a long time. I'm taking Purple Line Express north with my bicycle or Vespa on Lakeshore or every once in a while a Metro out to our house and exploring all of the interlocking parks and chains of the Outer Belt and the Outer Loop and the Inner Loop that are all the green spaces are a part of Chicago's. Something we're already really enjoying, you know, whether it's the Skokie Lagoons or beyond that. In terms of the future, I mean, I having kids and having grown up in the north, like you said, our weather isn't ideal. So, like, in the winter, we are museum rats. You know, we'll go to every single exhibit, every single talk or opportunity or live theater. So having an entire new sort of network of museums to explore and learn more about our world and our history is really one of the most exciting things to me and to my family. You know, as much as I love Cleveland institutions, and they are, you know, for a city of its size, much outmeasured, you know, I've probably been to MoCA and Cleveland Institute of Art and the Cleveland Art Museum well over 20,000 times in my lifetime. Wow. You know, and I love art, but I'm so excited to see new art and new museums and new culture.
We got all of it. We have all of it. And of course, we're going to keep you busy. And of course, you're going to keep Chicago food fans excited and busy as you put things together over there at the Four Seasons. And so as we let you go, any kind of either social media, so, you know, in a few days or whenever you can divulge the name, people will look for it or follow your adventures and all the things happening here in Chicago.
And sometime when we connect again, I'd love to tell you a story about the night that we won the James Beard Award. Because now, you know, you were there for two very high moments in my life, and there's a great Chicago tie-in story that I'd love to tell you when we have a little bit more time. Because it was quite a surprise to us to win, and I'm sure you'd appreciate it.
Oh, love it. Yeah, for sure. Like, keep us posted on that. And then is there, like, a website for, does Four Seasons have anything up, or a place for them to go ahead and kind of share things?
Yeah, I mean, I would follow Chef Sawyer on all social media, as well as Four Seasons Chicago. And the announcement will definitely come simultaneously from the Four Seasons and myself as to the restaurant's name. And then you'll have a website and reservation opportunities as soon as we release that.
Oh, exciting. It's going to be great stuff. And so glad to have, you know, with all the titles and accolades to add Chicago residents to it. Jonathan Sawyer, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Absolute pleasure, brother. Thank you so much for allowing me to chat with everybody.